This week, there was a fascinating report on contactless credit card security issues. There has been reports for years that contactless security is not what it needs to be. RFID-enabled credit cards have always had those who have questioned the security of it. But this report went into fairly elaborate efforts to establish what was safe and what wasn't. Kevin Fu is here, computer science professor at the University of Massachusetts, one of the lead authors of that report. And Kevin, let me get a sense from you. How secure are the contactless cards from what you could try?
Well, so what we did in our study was we took about 20 cards and we tried to see which, we enumerated which cards fall to various attacks. And we found that all the cards in our possession broadcast personal information. So this includes, for instance, the cardholder name and the expiration date. Most of our samples, not all, but most, also reveal the full credit card number.
Did it broadcast the track 2 data as well?
It doesn't broadcast, for instance, the 3-digit code, far as we can tell.
Okay, so they can't recreate a card with that?
Well, they wouldn't be able to recreate a pristine card. However, we were able to mount a successful cross-contamination attack, and that's where we take a skimmed card and we use the information online, for instance. So we were able to make a purchase without using the 3-digit code.
Right. For a retailer that doesn't do that, but they can't reproduce the cards and put my name on them.
Right.
If it's your card.
Correct.
There was one report in the report, a description of how two thieves could replicate, they could make a transaction go through point of sale in a physical environment. Can you describe that a bit?
Right, so there are a couple attacks. The main one is called a replay attack, and that's where we skim information from a real card to create something that can act just like that card. It might not have all the same information, but it's able to act like that card. There's another attack called the relay attack, and that's where we are actually sort of live next to a victim, and we're able to use that person's card, even though the card isn't near a reader, essentially elongating the read range of that card. The relay attack, for instance, might come up if you're waiting in a line or in a subway, and there's a thief behind you who gets close enough to interact with your wallet, a few inches within your wallet, and then that thief has a second device that interfaces with the cash register system. And it relays information between the cash register reader and the victim's wallet.
They act as a man in the middle. They inject themselves between you and the reader, and then they broadcast that on their own.
Exactly. So, right, they get right in the middle, and they to each other party it appears to be a legitimate transaction, but neither the consumer nor the cash register realize that there's a guy in the middle sort of playing them.
Is there what's the distance that you guys were able to do that?
Okay. Well, there's a couple questions on distance. First of all, our research wasn't really concentrating on trying to get a long distance. So what we've done gets only about 4 inches. So we've demonstrated walking by somebody in an elevator, and you can skim all their credit card information through their clothing, through their jeans, through their wallet. But with the relay attack, what's interesting is that read range no longer becomes much of a factor, because the device that's, you actually have two devices, and they're relaying over some other kind of network. So they don't actually have to be close together. It's no longer part of it's essentially the RFID protocol is going over a virtual connection.
Mark, what is your take on this? How much of a surprise do you find this?
Well, anytime you're transmitting information, you run the risk that somebody else is going to intercept it, and they're going to retransmit it. So it's always been a recognized security vulnerability of any transmittal type of system. What mitigates, principally, is it requires physical proximity to do it. So, and plus, unless you actually establish a station to do it, you have to do it one-off, one at a time. It's much harder to do it, you know, collectively. But what you can do is you can collect the transmittal information from a lot of people as they pass through. And even if it's only limited to a couple of inches, the truth is, as you get more sophisticated detectors, you can actually read stuff from a further distance apart. So you could literally put something on a turnstile in a subway and just collect the information from just about everybody.
Right. And I can add one more comment there. So as we as consumers have been trained, many of us carry these contactless cards, for instance, for building entry, and we're trained to put our wallet next to the building entry system and then the door opens. Well, if somebody puts a device right next to that door entry system, they can also read other devices in your wallet. So if you're also carrying other cards, those could be exposed inadvertently because the consumer doesn't realize that their other cards are being accessed.
And really what you do to prevent that is you add a PIN number or other kind of user-known authentication. But that takes up the whole purpose of the contactless system, which is speed and efficiency.
Yeah, that actually begs the question of a report that came out today. It plays into the hands of MasterCard and the new system that they're putting together, which is actually applying the same kind of due diligence to credit card that they have for credit card transaction behavior to debit card transaction behavior when there's PIN-based transactions. MasterCard and what they're trying to do is actually get money out of those debit transactions, which they're losing today. And it's a very, very big problem for Visa and MasterCard in the amount of debit transactions that are out there that are PIN-based. So, I mean, that's their angle there. But the study and what you're saying is that the PIN is actually the security that can help avoid that is actually playing into their hands there. So I would expect a call from MasterCard.
Well, the other thing is because of the debit cards, we've built up an infrastructure that is both card and PIN based. And so that can be adopted back to the contactless systems if it can be done quickly and efficiently.
Well, again, it does sort of override the value of the contactless system, but I'm surprised that anybody's surprised. It would seem to me that it's self-evident that, as someone said earlier, anything that you broadcast is certainly going to be, you know, snaggable. And a lot of the arguments sort of pro RFID in its various forms and functions has been, you know, well, it's the whole proximity issue. And you know, you've just kind of isolated the fact that, well, you can be pretty close or the systems can get more sophisticated and read from further away. A lot of this doesn't really come as a surprise to me. I don't know why people were exempting RFID from some of these issues.
Well, actually, so in the research realm, it was a bit of a surprise because actually some fairly famous researchers decided not to look into the security of these credit cards because they heard, oh, they use encryption. Well, of course it's going to be perfectly secure. Let's not put any time into looking at it. And we were just surprised at how easy it was to skim this kind of information.
The problem was that people put too much faith in encryption. Encryption is if trying to get to the contents of the message. What this type of attack does, it says, I don't care what the contents of the message are. I'm simply going to retransmit whatever the message was without knowing what it is. So in other words, I don't want to be you. I just want to use your credit card information.
Well, this just feeds totally into all the fears that people were having.
Absolutely.
About this kind of technology, and the problem is if this really kind of gets further out into this kind of research gets further done and further validated, which I'm sure it will, translates over into many other transactions, even though they may not be directly affected by this because it undermines the credibility of the credit card security systems overall. And so that being the biggest inhibitor to people actually transacting online, and if this is a fear that somebody might capture this number and go online and use my number, that just fuels the fire of consumers' fears that they already have. And it seems to me a pretty difficult challenge to overcome.
Right. Well, right.
And it points out one of the problems with RFID, and that is that RFID is continuously transmitting.
Right.
And therefore, it's much less of a risk if it's only transmitting at the point of and time of authentication. There's still a risk that the device you're authenticating to is a bogus device, a clone device. There's another capture device nearby. But at least time-based, you're at risk less period of time. If you're transmitting all the time, you're at risk all the time.
Right. On the other hand, these RFID technologies, they do have tremendous potential for future transactions and such, and it's just a little bit disappointing that these early generation these early generation cards are not using the best protection available today. So I really hope that the consumer trust can be regained, because there's a lot of potential here. But it's really important that companies get it right early on, so that consumers would accept and understand what kind of privacy they have.
Well, and another thing, you know, we spend a lot of time in RFID authenticating the card to the merchant. But we need to spend an equal amount of time authenticating the merchant to the card. The idea is I have an RFID card which is saying I'm ready to buy something. Who's out there? What it should be doing is saying I'm ready to buy something. If you're an authorized accredited merchant with a valid certificate, I'll exchange my information with you. All right? And so it requires both. So you have some kind of a certificate built into the merchant's request for information, and there has to be a handshake between the two. You're still at risk that somebody's going to get a valid merchant certificate and be able to suck up the data, but at least you'll know where the compromise occurred and how it occurred and be able to mitigate the damages.
Mm-hmm. So I have a couple points on that. First of all, I agree the certificates would be great, but just looking at how, for instance, certificates work on the web today, it's extremely, there's a lot of administration behind it, and so there are probably going to be a lot of hidden costs and overhead. And on the other hand, the credit card companies do, at least as far as I can tell, have some pretty sophisticated fraud detection algorithms. So at least they're going to limit the liability of the consumers. The privacy of the consumers, that's a whole other issue, and that's got a much more open question.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important point, because what is the extra added value to the consumers of this kind of thing? Well, if it's more convenient, that's great. But if it's more convenient that I don't have to pull out my card from my wallet and I can just sort of put my butt up close to the register or the reader, that's lovely. But if there is even a hint that is not going to be a secure transaction, then it seems to me that will outweigh the convenience factor of consumers, and that their adoption level of these kind of cards might be slowed.
Yeah, keep in mind that this was not a big consumer-driven.
Right.
None of us sat there and said, gosh, I wish I could just wave my card. This was something that was designed by the credit card companies because the PIN-based transactions were taking more and more of the fees away. And if I can make this easier to use by just swiping the card nearby the thing, it goes to a credit transaction rather than a debit transaction, which means whether or not it's a bank card that can be used as a debit or a credit card, like a Visa check card, for instance, or whether it's a true credit card, either way, it goes through the Visa or MasterCard networks, and thus they get a cut of it.
Well, and that brings up a whole other set of issues. Is consumers aren't just using their debit cards because they don't want to use don't have a credit card. It's because they don't want to use their credit card. And making their credit card more convenient may not really address that issue for the consumer. Again, it is the issue of the credit card, not necessarily a consumer demand. But if all of this and all of the security policies and procedures that the retailers and the credit card companies need to put in place makes it not as cost-effective as the current methodologies or debit cards, then, you're sort of back at square one again.
Right. I mean, we know that we have plenty of studies that show that when credit is taken at a fast food restaurant, the average transaction goes up 25%. That's what's at play here. It's not only the fact that it becomes more convenient for you to pay with plastic than it is with cash, and it's quicker to do that with cash, but the transaction value goes up and people put more things on credit.